We're supposed to stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, oftentimes, you can get up and you can begin to think about the things that stir you up. But anytime your mind begins to track in a specific way that is outside the order of God's will for your life, you lose your peace, you get anxious, you get, what's the word everybody has today? Anxiety. You get anxiety. And what's the other thing? Triggered. You get triggered. Someone said, yeah, I'm triggered. I thought they wanted to go shooting. I said, let's go. This is the first time I heard it. I'm triggered. Oh, cool. Me too. Well, what are you triggered about? I mean, I've got what do you mean? I have a Glock. Is that what you mean? Or a 1911? What am I triggered about? Yeah, something just triggered me. I triggered you? You mean the gun, right? No, it meant something different. It's weird how the right word means the wrong thing, and the wrong word means the right thing. But God's word means everything. You can write that down. I'll give you a minute. When you do something, if you will do it with intention, if you do it with intent, it will change your life. If you do it with intention, you do it with intent, it changes your life. God's word is with intention, it's with intent, and it changes your life. It changes your life. Prayer changes your life, right? Not really. Not really. A lot of times, Jesus said it like this. He said, you don't have because you don't ask. So asking is a good thing. But he said, but when you do ask, you don't receive. Because you ask amiss. What is the amiss? He said, you ask to consume or it on your own lust. What he's saying is you ask to get your way. He said, you don't receive. So prayer isn't necessarily the answer all the time. And you're going to have to listen to me to understand what I'm about to say, because I'm saying what Jesus said. I'm saying what Paul said. I'm saying what James said. I'm saying what the Word of God says. We think that if we pray a thing, that if we throw the name of Jesus at the end or at the beginning or maybe both, that that thing will come to pass. And the reality is, it's not your prayer that God responds to. It's your surrender. He said, when you pray, if you're asking out of your own will, he said, you praise me out of your will. And if you ask out of your will, he said, you won't receive. Because God answers according to his will, because his will is the only thing that you're created for. And his will is the only thing that will satisfy you. His will is the only thing that will complete you. Everything else is just like tying a carrot on the end of a stick and tying it to a horse's head. You just keep running and running and running until you just drop dead. It's an endless endeavor. It's an endless chase. So God said, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the reason he said repent is he said, repent so you can enter the kingdom. Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, that stirs curiosity. You know, it's said that the backbone of science isn't really intelligence. It isn't knowledge. It's curiosity. 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 And it is curiosity that defines your reality. Curiosity. The word says it like this: if you will hunger and thirst, you will be filled. But what will you be filled with? Curiosity is what the word, when it says, be hungry. He said, Jeremiah 29:13 says, he says, if you seek for him, if you seek for him with your whole heart, he will be found of you. And he will bless you if you seek for, not if you look for him to do something for you, but if you seek for him with your whole heart, he will be found by you. And then he will honor and he will bless you. When God created man, he said, let's make them in our image and to the ability to bear our likeness. That's God's initial design. And you can always go to Genesis in the creation of time and see God. You can see his heart, you can see his kingdom, you can see his will, you can see his love, you can see his wisdom, you see his presence, you see his purpose, you see his power, and you find peace. You just do. But the Word says that prayer isn't always the key. Because we can pray, he said, you pray amiss. He said, this people, he said, they worship me with their words, but he said, their heart is far from me. God won't hear your praise until he has your will. God won't hear your praise until he has your surrender. He's not interested in your words. He said they're vain. Ever been around someone that lies? You can't believe a thing they say? And so whatever they say, it's like, well, it's probably the opposite of what they just said. They're a liar, right? Well, God says the same thing about us. He said, if you're committing praise to me, but you haven't surrendered to me, then your heart is far from me and your words are in vain. So we could say your praise is worthless without surrender. Or we can say, once surrendered, your praise is received by God. And praise received is relationship had. When God receives my praise, I have a relationship with the Father. And when I have a relationship with the Father, God changes my mind. God never asks for us to pray to him first. He always says, have no other gods before me first. Before you try and keep any of the other commandments, keep this one. Have no other gods before you. Have no other gods. Your will is either an offering or an idol. You can write that down. We only have one thing that God will receive as an offering, and he says, come before me and bring an offering. From old to new, we have to bring an offering called an offering of praise. In the Old Testament, there was an offering. We talked about this a little bit last Sunday. It's called a free will offering. What it literally meant is I'm bringing my will as an offering. And God received it. And there was great blessing because it was something that was brought as worship to God, not by an ordinance or an order, but by the will. And the will is the significance. The will of man is the defining moment in his future. The will, our will. It's the only thing that we have that we can bring to God that he will receive. This morning I prayed. My prayer was, God, I give you my will as an empty space for you to dwell in. I give you my will, so I am empty of my will, because that's the only space God will dwell in. He can't dwell in your prayers if he doesn't have your surrender. He can't accept your praise if you're not sincere. And if you're really going to praise him, you consider him God. And you wouldn't consider him God and keep your will. If you consider him God, you would surrender your will to him, and that's worship. That's praise. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm beseeching you. Guys, I beg you by the mercy of God. He said, present yourself a sacrifice. What is he talking about? Bring your will and make it a sacrifice. That is the only thing that is acceptable to God and accounted as holy and worthy before the Lord. You have something so empowering in your life, and you want to do one of two things with it. You either make it an idol or you make it an offering. Your will is either your surrender or it's your arrogance. It's your defining moment. Curiosity is that defining reality of mankind. It's the defining reality of every man and woman, boy and girl. Curiosity. The intention of your curiosity is what either alters or fulfills your purpose. And you really should hear this. This is by the word of the Lord. This is what God recently said to me in those exact terms. Are you curious about God, or you're curious about him doing something in your life? Science explodes when men and women become curious as to who and why and how. And the intentions of your curiosity either drives you into purpose or it alters your purpose. If God tells you to do something, God told the man of God, he said, don't go back. He cried against the altar. The Lord honored him. Jeroboam got angry, reached out his arm to grab him, to command the officers, to the people to take him. And his arm became frozen. It became crippled. The word says it dried up and he couldn't bring it back to himself. In other words, it was just frozen. It's amazing what pain will do. It either alters you or it makes you bitter. You have to choose. And the word says that then the king became very submissive and he said, ask God to restore my arm. So the man of God asked him to restore his arm, restored his arm. But it didn't change his heart because he had a will that he wouldn't put on that altar. So then the man of God speaks to him and says, don't go back the way you shouldn't go. If you would learn to celebrate no, your life would be transformed and you would know the altering power of God's will and the transforming power of his purpose rather than you altering your purpose by your will. I just want to give you a minute for it to sink in because it's really good stuff. That defining moment of your life is determined as to whether or not it alters your purpose or your purpose is fulfilled. And what is that defining moment? What are you curious about? What are you curious about? What does your curiosity lead you to? God told the man of God, he said, speak the word, and he said, but here's the word. God always gives you a no so you can enjoy the yes. Always. He did it in the garden. He did it with the prophet. He did it with everybody. There's always a no because a no makes you curious about the yes. If God said no to this, what is he saying yes to? Now we know what he said, and you either believe God or you defy God. You don't just doubt God. You either believe God or you defy his word. There's no middle ground. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle. Well, I'm checking. No, you're not checking out. You're defying God. And that's a dangerous road to be on. But when God touches a soul, when God touches an individual, the first thing he calls us to do is repent of what? Your will. He told the prophet, go and speak the word. This is a man of God that just spoke in the presence of a king. The king couldn't touch him. His arm turned dry, froze. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. He, being the king, could not do to the man of God what he wanted to do. Couldn't do it. Had no power to do it. Life will not have control over you if you obey the word of God, and that requires the surrender of your will, and every one of you has one. And then God said, speak against the altar, and he spoke against it, and the word says, as a sign, the altar broke in half, and the ashes that the king of unrighteousness had put on it dumped out, and then they knew, this is God. Give me a sign. It never changed the king. The word says he continued to do evil. There is no sign. There isn't anything God can show your eyes or speak into your ear that will change you, that will convince you. Not anything. Because that defining moment of your life is what you're curious about. You either take your will, which defines your moment, and you make it an offering to God, or you make it an idol against God. And there is no in between. He said, submit yourself therefore unto God. Surrender your will. Surrender yourself therefore unto God. If you just do that, I love this, the devil will run from you. He didn't say rebuke him and he will run from you. You know, there's a lot of strong believers out there who love God and believe that the devil attacks them. And you know what? He does. He does. Because every spiritual entity, every spiritual existence requires two things from humanity in order to operate in their lives. Your will and your faith. Jesus Christ, the word says, could not do many mighty works because they doubted him. If Jesus Christ requires your faith in order to do the will of the Father, don't tell me the devil can randomly come in and do whatever he wants without your will and your faith. You have to believe that he can affect your life in order for him to affect your life. God said, I've given you mankind dominion over all the earth. It belongs to us. And the state of our world is not because of the sinners or the unbelievers or the haters. It's because of the believers. The believers are responsible for the state of the world. Whether we like to hear it or not, we are responsible. And we have conflicting thoughts and opinions in our mind. We kind of serve God a little bit because we call on his name. He said, you call me in vain. He said, I will not hear you. I will not answer you because your heart is far from me. God doesn't answer you because you pray. And you can't say, God, take this sin out of my life. God says, repent of your sin and your sin will leave you. You can't say, God, if this is not your will, then take it out of my life. You already know the will of God. The will of God brings peace. The will of God doesn't bring conflict. The will of God is not arrogant. It's not self-seeking. It's not self-serving. It's surrender to God. It's Jesus. You have the heart of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him. How do you do that? I surrender to you. That's why the word says repent. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. I want you to repent because I want you to walk in the kingdom of God. God says to Job, to the man of God, God told him, don't go back the way you came. Are you going back the way you came? God, take this from me. Paul prayed that one time. Remember that? What did God say? Paul said, three times I ask you to remove this affliction. Anton knows. What did he say? God said no. Take this from me. God said no. Paul said, I've asked you twice. God said, I heard you every time. I need your will, Paul. You don't need my answer because your will is the answer. Because if you surrender your will to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God, to the man of God, no, do not go back the way you came. God told Adam and Eve, do not touch the tree. The tree represented Adam and Eve's will. They had everything else they could possibly want. Everyone has that one thing. That God says, there it is. Give that to me, and you'll walk in my favor. You'll know. See, the sad thing is the word says that our minds were alienated from the will of God. You don't even know what it feels like to really feel empowered by God. We know what it is to ask God for things, to ask God to do this, and God do that, and God give me this, and God give me that. And Lord, if it be your will, no, Lord, it is your will. The word says, know what the will of the Lord is. We're not supposed to ask him what his will is. Jesus didn't say, Father, what is your will, did he? He said, I came to do the will of the Father, and his will I know. God puts that in your heart. You know the will of God. God's probably told you no 100 times to the 100 times you said yes anyway. But what you're saying is, God, make this impossible for me, and then I'll do what you ask me to do. God says, no, that's not your will, that's my will, and you can't have my will until I have yours. Don't get mad. You want to know the truth? Knowledge isn't power. The knowledge of the Word of God is not power without a surrendered will. The Word says, they know my law and they teach my law, but they don't keep my law. And they've judged others according to my law. When you know God's Word, you know Christ, because Christ is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God's Word is dwelling among you. Is it dwelling in you. Jesus walked among them, but he wasn't in every one of them. The word says they rejected him like the cornerstone of a temple. The very thing that holds it up, they rejected that. Why? One thing only. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Your will is either an offering to God that he will receive, or it's an idol that he will reject. We could probably stop right there. If you think about that, that will change your world. To know the peace of God only happens when your will is surrendered. There's a movie that we've watched, Lene and myself, and it's a little Shirley Temple movie. And I think Shirley Temple's baptizing. She wants this little friend of hers to get saved. And she says, you need to get saved. And some of you may remember this. And I used to like little Shirley Temple. I used to say, I want to have a daughter that reminds me of Shirley Temple. And when DeRay came, I said, there she is. She danced, she sang, she played guitar, she did all those things. Tap danced. But they're baptizing this little boy, and she says, are you saved? And he says, I don't know. She baptized him, brings him up, and he says, are you saved? And he's like, he's not sure. So she baptizes him again. And are you saved? Are you saved? She baptizes him again. About drown the kid. The point is, do you need to be drowned, or are you willing to be baptized? Does God have to drown you and raise you from the dead? Or are you willing to lay your life down? This is what he said. He said, if you're going to follow me, he didn't say, I'm going to take your old life from you. He didn't say that. And we need to know the truth so we can get saved. It's time for PFC family to get saved, okay? You're all going to get saved today, or you're going to reject. You're going to do one or the other. And you need to know the truth. The truth is God doesn't save you until you surrender. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And they that come to him must believe that he is the God of gods. And they must surrender to him as God. They must worship him as God. And there's no way you know God as God and then you can disobey his word. And that's the honest truth. And we need to tell the truth because our tolerance level has gone through the roof in the body. We tolerate way too much and end up with way too little, and then we fight through the sludge of disobedience and then ask God to deliver us from the sludge we created because we don't know the Word of God. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, know what salvation is. Know what being born again is, and you need to know that. When you're born again, you have power over your will. That's called surrender and submission. It's called dominion. God said, this is what we're going to give them. We're going to give them dominion. So give them a garden filled with everything they want, but I'm telling you, it won't keep them. It won't make them happy until they celebrate a no. And that tree right there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is a no. There was only one truth that the serpent said. He said, you will know evil. They already knew good. They already knew God. Their eyes were already open to see all the goodness of God. What he said, and she didn't hear, is when you eat of this, you will know evil. And in knowing evil, you're not God. God is not evil, but when you know it, you'll become it and you will surely die. And then the word, the literal meaning is, when she disobeyed, when she looked and said, I want, instead of what God said. She knew what God said, but then she said, I want. And the word says, in dying, she died. Your eyes were open. You know when your eyes are closed to what God is saying because you're triggered. You have anxiety. When God is doing something in your life, it is accompanied by peace and it produces peace. And nothing less and nothing else. Anything else, the word says, is devilish and it is from hell. If you will, it is sent from the devil. And the devil has no access to any born-again believer unless you give him that. And I pray, I'm I'm praying for, I pray for people. I've taught this for years, and I will continue to teach this. I'm writing a book, and I can't wait to put it out there. Because the body needs to know that Satan has no access to you unless you believe him into access. If Jesus couldn't do it, the devil sure can't. And it's when you're saying, I'm attacked by the devil, that you give him the same access and authority into your life that you're claiming you've given Jesus Christ. And it is a false idol. It is wrong. It is not the Word of God at all. It is against the Word of God. It is contrary to the Word of God. Keep in mind, again, when the disciples came and said, Jesus, the demons are, they're subject to us, and we're excited about it. Church is still that way. They still get excited about it. They get excited about fighting the devil. They get excited because it's their aggression coming out when it should be praise and worship. They get excited about it because they think they're doing something. You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing. You're swinging at a shadow. You're fighting at the wind. And then you're opening a door because you're calling Satan a god with influence in your life. Instead of saying there is no power but of God. And those powers which be are ordained of God. I know it's taught in the church, but I've been teaching this for about 40 years. And it's transformed people's lives because they only have one God. And his name is Jesus. He is the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. When the disciples got excited and said, demons are subject to us, Jesus said, don't talk about that. He said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. And then he said, you know, he's already fallen from power. I saw him fall myself from power. But if you want to rejoice, Jesus said, rejoice because you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what Jesus said. That's the mind of the church. There is a revelation that is creating a revolution in the body of Christ, and God is going to give you ownership of good things. See, you don't want the best for you. You think you do, but you don't. Only God wants the best for you. You know what you want, but God said, you don't know what I want for you, because what I want for you is so good and so much, you don't even know about it. That's what he said. He said, my thoughts towards you are so good and so abundant and so many. He said, if you sat down in a day and tried to calculate them, you couldn't figure them out. You want too little. You're willing to settle and settle hard. Well, I'm just going to deal with this in my life because, you know, my family dealt with it, and so I'm going to... It's a lie. And then you go tell Satan he's a liar. Well, he knows that, but you're the one lying. Why don't you tell yourself you're a liar? And repent. And start speaking the truth. The truth is who the Son has made free is free indeed. God isn't a casual God. He said, I'm a jealous God. I'm a very jealous God. And he said, don't have any other gods before me. And he said, and don't you be any god. See, there is no god. There is no idol. There aren't idols. There's one idol. It's called the will of man. And there isn't any other. You can make it a cow, or you can make it a fat person, or a skinny person, or a tall, or a giraffe, or an eagle, or a bird, or a sun, or a moon. But that's not what you're worshiping. You're worshiping what you have made. You're worshiping you. That's the first commandment. God said, this is the first and most important commandment. Have no other God before me. Because if you do that, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then you'll love your neighbors as yourself. It should be difficult for you. And you really need to assess your life. The Word tells us, know yourself, know your faith, know whom you serve, discern yourself. You need to discern yourself. Are you saved? Oh, you shouldn't be bringing up that question. Oh, I should be bringing it up because the Word brings it up. Are you born of God, or you just pray to Him? Do you use the name of Jesus, or do you come in the name of Jesus? He said, in my name, this and that. Not use my name. And you use his name and not obedience, then you're taking his name in vain. You're saying, I come in the name of Jesus, and you come in your name. But when you come in his name, what does that mean? I come in the identity, just again like a king. A king would find a very trusting surgeon or a steward, and he'd send him his, as a messenger for himself because he knew he had confidence in this specific messenger. So he'd send a messenger maybe to another king or to a nation making a declaration. He may be wearing his insignia ring or have a stamp on an envelope that he stamped in wax saying, the king truly has sent me. So he would come, and he would say, I come in the name of King whoever it would be. Meaning, I don't have a message. I'm not coming for myself. I'm coming in the identity of the King who has sent me. Jesus said it like this, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, what I'm doing, let's back up. Jesus said, what I'm doing is not my will. The word says, and the word became flesh. That was very important. Why didn't God just do it? Because doing it is not the will that God indwells. God indwells the empty space where your will used to occupy. That's why it says, pour yourself out before the Lord. Empty yourself out before God. Because in the beginning, when God created, and something fascinating, we could preach about this all day. When God created in the days of Genesis, creation was known. You may think that creation was known before that, but it wasn't. God is a spirit, and God has always been God. But about roughly based on the genealogy of the Bible, about 6,000 years ago, God created essence. And he did it by his spoken word. And the word says, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, because flesh always has a will, and that will is the only thing that God receives because it requires submission and faith and obedience to do it. And that means you worship him as God. And if you don't, you need to get saved. Our churches are going to become saved. Not just use his name. I see a body. And I have seen it many times. I see a body of people throughout the earth, and there is this great transition. The order of churches and the order of service changes in the house of God because people are very curious about God. Not curious about what God can do for them. Not curious about what we can get away with. But curious about what God's will really is. It's called hunger and thirst. He said the only ones that will be filled are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not someone that says, fill me, Lord, with your spirit. But someone that surrenders their will and say, in place of that, fill me with your will. Jesus said this. He said, I did not come to do my will. He said, if I am speaking of my will, he said, then the Father has not sent me. But he said, I do not seek my will, but I seek the will of the Father. And this man named Jesus, who the word says, in him dwelt the fullness of God, because he surrendered himself to the will of God. And he made it clear over and over and over and over. He said, I did not come of my own accord. He said, the will of the Father has sent me. And he said, and his will I obey, and his will I do. You need to say that in your own life. You need to say, God's will I obey. And God's will I do. It is your will that is the turning point in your life. It is the force that God has given you. It is the offering. Isaac wasn't the son God was after. God was after the will of Abraham. And when Abraham did what he did, he didn't say, I acknowledge Isaac. He said, I acknowledge you, and now I know you love me. Now I know you Worship me as God because you surrendered your will. And then God said, now I'll give you the offering I sent you up here to sacrifice because you've already given me the one you had. And that's your will, Abraham. And he is called the father of all faith. Why? What did he do that was so empowering? He gave his will on the altar of God. Can you imagine taking your only begotten son that you love, okay, that you love with all your heart and saying, I'm going to put him on an altar and I'm going to sacrifice him because God said so. Let alone also on top of that, this is your honor. This is gone. You're done. Your reputation is down the tubes. You are embarrassed. You are humiliated. You have nothing to show. But Abraham said, I know God will fill. I know if God wants him dead, he will raise him from the dead. Your will speaks differently when it's absent and God's will fills the space that your will used to abide and your will used to dwell in. That's the resting place of God. That's where God dwells. That's where your mind changes. Otherwise, you can hear every message on the planet, still walk out those doors and do exactly what you want to do because you have not surrendered your will to God. And that is as much as saying, God, I will be the idol. I'll talk to you later. It is a rejection to the very will of God. I'm telling you, church, it is time to repent. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, it's time to surrender yourself to the mighty hand of God, not trying to please the congregation or the people, but tell them the truth. It is only the truth, not knowing the truth, but living the truth that sets you free. And until that time, you're going to see house after house close. God is going to bring out the truth. And if the truth is against those that have not repented, they will fall to their knees in repentance and humiliation. If you don't bow your knee to God, God will bow your knee. If you won't drive yourself to that point of repentance, you will be driven to repentance. And it still doesn't mean you will repent. Repentance isn't forced. God's will is not forced. God's will is received. The Lord says, if you will receive him as Lord, if you will receive him as your Lord, you will be born again. It shouldn't take that long to be transformed. So the question needs to be, am I? Or should I repent? You know, it takes a few weeks, a couple months, depending on the butterfly, for a butterfly to go from the little amoeba caterpillar to a butterfly. It doesn't take him that long to transform into some little crawly thing that you'd go, ooh, to something beautiful that you go, ah. God wants to turn you, ooh, into an ah. Are you a caterpillar, ooh, or are you an ah? And it's that quiet time that God says, be still and know that I am God. It's that quiet time that you're trusting in God that the transformation happens. It's that time where you're saying, God, not my will, your will be done. Not God, not my will, your will. Okay, let's do it right now. God saying, no, that's still your will. Your will is God, your will be done. Your God, your will, God. And you surrendering your will to God is saying, God, I have surrendered my will to you. You do what pleases you. And that's when power comes. That's when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm absolutely 100% convicted and convinced when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will absolutely obey the will and the word of God. You'll be an instrument of power. You'll be an instrument of joy. You'll be an instrument of peace. You won't be lying against your neighbor. You won't be calling them names. You won't be talking about what they do. It's going to be difficult for you to resist the Holy Spirit that fills you. You will be an instrument of peace. When you show up, peace will follow you. When you show up, joy will follow you. You show up, selflessness will follow you. You show up, praise will follow you. You know there's a difference in talking about God and worshiping yourself, and there's a difference in worshiping God and not able to talk much about yourself. Christ in me, the word says, is my hope of glory. If Christ is in you, you are dead. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. And then God will receive your praise. And then God will fill your heart and your mind. It isn't your prayer He answers. It's your surrender. And then He even says, you don't even have to ask or think about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. He said, I know what you have need of. Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They don't work. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't sweat. They're not triggered. We have a little gun. It's called gun assault. You have one of those? Yay, gun assault. Good idea. Someone someday was me with a little more creativity, and they said, I hate flies. I hate them. And I hate worse to splat them on the counter and know I'm going to eat off of it later. No matter how clean it is, I still see the image of that fly's guts. And I can't get it out. I'll dig a hole in the tile trying to get that memory out. And the memory just doesn't go, no matter how much I scrub the spot. So someone came up with something called, I should get some revenue from this, bug assault. Do you know what bug assault is? It's a little CO2 powered gun. And if you want the best one, you get the 10 shooter. Oh yeah. You put a cartridge in, CO2 cartridge. You put the little salt cartridge in there. And then, bam, you shoot a fly, bug be gone. No guts, just dead flies. It's beautiful. One day, my wife has really gotten into the bug assault. The other day, probably 3 days ago, I hear, bam, bam, bam. I think she's beating something. And I'm saying, what is it? And I hear, got it. And I said, we need to work on the aim. She said, I shot it out of the air. See, typically you wait for it to land. I always wait for it to land and then I shoot it. Well, after that, I'm upstairs and there's another fly and I'm going, bam, 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 bam. And then I shot it down. I got it. It takes more shots when it's in the air than it does when it's landed. But my wife, she's from the Wild West, so she just bug assault. So one day a fly flew just kind of right there, and she said, get it, honey, and I did. Bam, and then she went, oh! Never shoot the fly when your wife is standing behind it. I don't even know why I was talking about that. It just seemed like a fun thing. Get rid of the pest in your life and you're it. Devil doesn't have anything to say about you, but he will indwell your will, and then that's a dangerous place. You can make yourself. Think about a demon. Think about the devil having a will, but no place to represent it, no place to express it. What does he want? Same thing God wants, your will. And then when you begin to think it's your idea, that's even worse. And when you begin to make excuses, that's worse yet. The word calls it, he says, you're blinded in your mind. You're far off. Draw nigh to me, he said, and I will draw nigh to you. It's not your boss's fault that you're in the position you're in. God's given you dominion. It's not your family. You can't blame them for not being what you want them to be. Okay? They may or may not be. But if you're losing your peace, that's God's power He's given you. He's given you authority to take your peace. James says this, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Regardless of what it is, you have to say, if God is for me, who can be against me? The will of the Lord will be done in my life. Can you say that? Well, they're lying about me. They're saying evil things about me. They said evil things about Jesus too. It didn't stop him. He stayed the course. It's no one's fault. You can't blame anyone for losing your peace but you. Jesus said, I've given you my peace. So you're going to take what God has given you, the peace God has given you, and say, I'm going to give it away just because I have a reason to do so. I have a good excuse. Ah, that hits everybody, doesn't it? I lost my peace because Jesus said, the peace I give you, you shouldn't lose. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world, keyword, not the way the world gives do I give. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither
let it be afraid.
God has placed everything that He has for you on the inside of you. Scriptures say, I have given you all things, in closing. He says, I've given you all things that pertain to life. To life, this life. I've given it to you. Connect that with when they asked Jesus, show us the kingdom and we'll believe. He said, the kingdom doesn't come like that. It's just like saying, God, if this isn't from you, just take it out of my life when you're pursuing it. God, if you want me to stop cursing, just take control of my tongue. No, you take control of your tongue. I've had people say, I'm asking God to help me stop cursing. Like, are you out of your mind? Well, yes, you are. You take control over your tongue. You start blessing. God's given you dominion. If you believe the Spirit of God was in you, you have the power to take control of your tongue. And by virtue, the Word says, if you can control your tongue, you can control the whole body. This is impossible with man, but not with God. The Word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. His Word is power in me. One thing God wants, and it's the most powerful thing in your life. It determines if your purpose is altered or fulfilled. And that's your will. And your curiosity is the intention of your future. Your curiosity is the intention of your future, and it will be the defining moment of what your future is going to be. What are you intentioned about? Knowing God? Really knowing you. Father, before I know anything else, any further in my life, can you at least take on the attitude of a caterpillar? Does it have to take all of your life to be transformed? Or can you do it in a short order? Can you do it in a short amount of time? He said you're created to be transformed into the image and the likeness of God. The reason for transformation, and God requires, it's a mandate. He requires your will to be surrendered to His. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. In so doing, you are resisting the devil, and he will run away from you. Scripture. So then I have a question for those that say the devil is chasing them. Whose will do you have? Because Jesus said, God said, if you submit yourself to me, the devil will run from you, not after you. God is so God. God is so good. And God is so with you. Give the Lord praise. Stand with me this morning. The Word says, know you, y'all know in whom you believe. What is your curiosity? Scientists say the foundation of science isn't knowledge. They say it's curiosity. Because through curiosity comes knowledge and understanding. But without it, you don't learn. What are you curious about? Scripture says it like this, Old King James, as the deer pants after the water brook. What does that mean? Well, he's thirsty. So my soul longs for you. I'm thirsty for you, God. I'm thirsty for your word. I see the body of Christ transforming in such an unequivalent way, save Christ himself. No equal, save Jesus. I see the body of Christ being transformed into the likeness of knowing who He is. Not contending with sin, but an overcomer. Not fighting your will, but finding it a joy to surrender it. I understand more where Paul said, I die daily. I surrender my will daily. He said, and I pray for you always. You may receive the spirit of wisdom and knowledge of His will, that you may know Him better, that you may know Him more. What Paul's saying is, I pray for you to be curious about God. I pray for you to be curious. Become curious about God. I pray that you would be curious about God, about who He is, about His nature, about His will. Curiosity is the divining reality of everyone's life. It's the defining moment. And the intention of your curiosity either alters your life, alters your purpose, what God has for you. It either alters that in you, or it begins to fulfill it. If you're curious about God, your purpose is going to be fulfilled. If you're curious about who He is, and where He is, and how He is, and that He is. That was David's heart. David wanted to know God. The Word says he had a heart after God. Not just his heart was like God, saying his heart was after God. He sought to know God. Only a fool, especially hearing the word, only a fool would seek his own will before God. Only a fool. But God says He's made us wisdom and understanding. Knowing something doesn't mean anything until what you know becomes who you are. Your intentions. The intention of your curiosity. Why do you want God to do what you're asking Him to do? Are you really wanting it to further the kingdom? Or you? God knows. God knows. And He'll prove you until you know. He'll prove you. God will allow you to see what disobedience and sin does in your life. He'll allow you to see it. If you want, He won't stop you from the pain. Because He wants you to know that He is good. And He's the only good. He wants you to know that loving Him and obeying Him and trusting Him and keeping His word is the only life worth living. And everyone can do that. Anyone can do that. And you don't have to know how to do anything except surrender your will, and then He will show you His. But that is a requirement. It was required of Abraham. God gave him promise over and over and over. And then God said, now it's time to make room for that seed. It's time to be broken. The scripture says, referring to Christ, it says, whoever falls on this rock will be broken. But whoever the rock falls on will be broken by the rock. It will be crushed and ground into powder. What's he saying? Fall willingly on the rock and be surrendered, and you will live. If the rock falls on you, you were crushed and you die. Jesus, not my will. Your will be done. How many times do we say it? Get the revelation of what he's saying. His way is so good and so perfect and so abundant. But we, each individual, your family can't be responsible for your peace. What does or doesn't happen based on what you ask can't be where your peace lies, or your joy lies, or your hope lies, or your future lies. You just need to be curious about God. It's a defining reality of your future. I'm curious about you, Father. I want to know who you really are. I want to know who you are in me. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm going to know that I've come in your name. I've come in your identity. Meaning I represent who you are because I surrender my will. You don't have to know what his will is. You just have to surrender yours. He said, I will reveal myself to you. He said, you want to receive me? You want to know me? He says, my ways are beyond your ways. My thoughts are beyond your thoughts. He said, the carnal mind, the way you think naturally, he said, it is hostile against me. I hate it. He said, I consider it an enemy of myself. But if you'll surrender, God says, I'll show you my thoughts. I'll show you my will. You know, somebody out there thinking, well, I don't know what his will is. You don't have to know. God didn't ask you to know what his will is. He said, I will reveal myself to you. I will show you my will. I will put my law and my word in your heart and your mind. I will write them, and I will be to you God, and you will be to me a people. is so easy. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden and keep trying the same dumb... You know the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But the definition of wisdom is surrender to God. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm delivering a message from God. I'm not trying to convince anyone because I don't have that power. I can speak the word, but only your spirit can receive it as the word of God. Receive today the word of the Lord, the engrafted word of God. God is going to put, the Lord God of heaven and earth is going to put such influence and power and favor into the hands of those whose intention is to know God better and more. Is there something you want that you think would take the place of God Almighty? Is there someone you think takes that place? Is there something? Well, no, I don't think it takes the place. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. If you're willing to commit that in place of God, if you're willing to submit to that in place of God, your will be done. Yeah, yeah. If I could just get that job won't satisfy you. God said to Adam and Eve, I give you an entire garden. God could give you 100 million, whatever it is you want. They had the word says God gave them the entire earth. And there was only one thing. It wasn't that tree that affected them. It was the will of man. And that's your honor. That's the one thing you have that God will receive as a sacrifice, and then He will receive you. What a great thing. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that God has for you is on the inside of you. It's like the day. Right here, right now, in the sphere of this reality, day and night, sunrise and sunset all dwell together. Right here, right now. It's in the sphere of the universe. Someone has sunlight. Someone is in the dark. Someone the sun is rising. Somewhere the sun is setting. But what glory are you seeing? The glory that God has put on the inside of you. It is revealed just like day and night. Where we're here in California right now, it's day. It's light. It's light out. Someplace it's dark. But the reality of day and night exists for everybody right now. You're just not seeing the glory of it. But it will show up. And that glory of God's peace and God's will and the very best. Why would you settle for the least and live with it for half or part of your life when the glory of God wants to be revealed through you? Submit yourself therefore unto God. By so doing, you resist evil, it will run from you, and peace will come, and God's glory, the day will show up, even if you're living in the night right now. Peace will come, even if you're living with unrest. Peace will come. Joy will come. I'm speaking to everyone that's viewing right now. God's talking to you. God's speaking into your life. There is a joy that will exceed and excel anything, and in the house as well. It will exceed anything you could have imagined. Be honest with yourself. Why are you wanting what you want? To satisfy you or to please the Lord? Is it for the kingdom of God in which everything you desire resides and presides? Wait for the glory. It will be revealed through you. That's why Jesus said, don't take any thought. Don't say tomorrow. Say this is a day. God today be glorified. Paul said, I die daily. I understand that more clearly now than ever. Every day I surrender my will to you, God, and it is a joy. It is my way of worship. I beseech you by the mercies of God, Paul said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. There is your worship, and without it, you are not a worshiper of God. But if you will, a worshiper you are. Father, we give you praise. Because you've given us your will in place of ours, God. You've empowered us to accept the no in place of a yes, to celebrate the no. So the yes has meaning. So the yes remains. You said, I've given you the entire garden. Just leave that tree alone. That belongs to me. You touch it, that's your will, not my word. And in the day your will leaves, you will surely die. God is saying to you right now, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Call on me with a sincere heart, and I will answer you and show you mighty things you do not know. I'm going to ask everyone in the house and those that are viewing, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord I've talked about today, if you don't know Christ as the Christ, the Savior that I'm talking about today, I want you to pray with me and say, Father, I pray as you said to pray, Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your will, not mine, be done. I repent of my past, my present, and I receive you as Lord and Savior of my present, my past, and my future. Be glorified in me. Be pleased with me. Live in me. Fill me with your will, your spirit, and your power. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody shouted. God has you more securely than I have this rope. He has your future. He has your purpose. He has everything he's entrusted into your hands, and you can't take it out of his. No one can. No one can take you out of his hand. No one can take anything God has given you out of your hand. So enjoy this time of faith and trust. See what God is developing. James says, count it all joy. See, the word of God is creative, and it's creating. It's creating in you. It's creating when you have the opportunity to celebrate the opportunity. That's when the word is creating in you. And that's what the word does. It's creating in you when you have the opportunity, when it looks like things are all around, perplexity of nations. And you say, God, I celebrate the opportunity to believe you. When your health is challenged, you say, God, I celebrate the opportunity to believe you. I celebrate the opportunity. You may not have the same opportunity again. Oh, the Lord healed me, and you rejoice and you're happy about that. But it was the opportunity that changed your mind. How many times you hear people say, I was next to death, and the Lord changed my life. I'll tell you why. You finally realized your will was killing you, and you surrendered to him, and he transformed you. He didn't wait, you did. God is not just at the midnight hour. He's there the second of the new day. He's ever present with you. Father, we give you praise today. We bear witness to the covenant of God. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. That's when you know it's God's blessing. He brings you peace. He brings you wisdom. And I prophesy over this body and those that are viewing, and I tell you this, no one can take from you what God has given to you. It's secure in the hand of the Lord. Now celebrate and go about your Father's business as though nothing but the will of God is being done, and you will see the will of God being done, and God will open doors of opportunity you haven't even heard of yet. This is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord a shout of joy in the house. Father, we worship and praise you. Mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, this is the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These are the days of the kingdom of God and of his Christ. The kingdom is being revealed through you. The kingdom of God is coming out of you. The kingdom of God is represented through your faith. Heaven and earth are coming together today. Just as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. There are those standing here that are alive here. They will not pass. They will not die until you see the kingdom of God revealed. The kingdom of God is in your grasp. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Tony and Cecilia, I call the youth of your spirit to be the strength of your body in the name of Jesus. I call for your faith of obedience to be the answer of your family in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise. We bring it as an offering because we surrender to your will. Your kingdom come, oh God. God's got it, I'm telling you. God's got it. And if he's got it, he knows what to do with it. He knows where it is. He knows where it's going. And he's Lord over it all. He's wisdom in you. He's wisdom through you. Terry, God has put a tenacious appetite for his heart in you. Be curious about the heart of God. I pray that there's just like a little campfire stirred up on the inside of you. Just keep feeding. Just keep feeding that fire. The Lord has answered you. A prayer you prayed like six-ish years ago about what God would do in your life, what God would do in your family, for Chris, in your what God would do in and through you. Things you didn't even have, things you didn't even know that came into your life later. They're represented by your prayer. God, your will be done. Your will be done. This is kin to you. You know this prayer. And I release a word of prophecy to you over the next couple seasons. What is that? You determine by your words of prophecy according to the word of the Lord. You're going to see things turn around in such a beautiful way. Have you not been able to say, God has done what I thought may never happen? What you thought you may have to just tolerate. And you no longer tolerate it. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. God has given you rest. He has restored you. And the tormenting spirits that once taunted your mind no longer has a voice that you can hear. You need to know that to be the truth and declare, I know his voice, and a stranger I cannot hear nor follow. This is the greatest season of your life, and the Lord answered you today according to your supplication. The Lord is greatly with you. God, we give you praise. It is not difficult. It is not complicated. Matt, it's so easy and so simple. God has everything. Be busy about your Father's business. It's all you have to do. God has everything else and you covered. What belongs to you? What is yours? David said, I bring all this offering, but what am I doing? Since you gave it to me anyway, I'm just surrendering what belongs to you. Surrender what belongs to God. It's secured in the hand of the Lord. God is for you. Nothing can be against you. The scripture says, whatever we give to the Lord, he'll give us in this life 100 times, in this life plus eternal life. Why wouldn't you serve God? How great and how good is the Lord? Lord, as I speak the blessing of God's direction and favor over you, your body, your spirit, your mind, God fill you with such revelation of truth that when you speak and open your mouth again, even from a distance, before you can arrive, what you've spoken will already have begun. A seed only knows its life once it's been broken. A seed only knows the life that's on the inside of it. All the promise is there. And if the seed could talk, it could say, I don't see anything. I look the same way I did a year ago. I don't look any different. Jesus said, if you will humble yourself, if you'll fall on the rock, be broken. Jesus said, I will be broken for you. He took the sacrificial bread and he said, this is my body which I break for you. Can you break for Him? You'll never know the life inside of you, just like a seed, until you break open. You have to be broken before the Lord. And He said, take, eat. In other words, be this. This is My body given for you. This is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Come on.